Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's football at four with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Well, you know, obviously traveling east, it's the different times and time zones. That's always a hard thing to overcome on the road. It's a hard place to play. I mean, this team's been really a dominant home team. You know, he's been there 10 years and they've won 10 plus games, you know, in his tenure there. So it's a hard place to play. They have great crowd noise. It's like playing at a college stadium. So it's going to be a tough out for our guys as far as traveling and playing our best game we can.
There you go. It's always the Wednesday, there's no way we can beat this team press conference. Well, that's spitting some truth balls about the Ravens. Al, the degree of difficulty in traveling east to play Baltimore. The Broncos are 1-4 lifetime playing in Baltimore.
Well, the proposition is very easy. But how you do it, there's a couple different ways. Because of Joe Flacco and his ability to locate guys more than 15, 20 yards down the field is so much better than most NFL quarterbacks, it creates a big problem because you have to, against this guy, it's one of the few guys where you have to defend the entire field. So if you have to defend the entire field, that gives, you know, it gives openings in underneath routes, and he's very good at that, but he'll also give you sacks. You know, he'll give you sacks, and he'll hold on to the football, believing that his guys will get open. But if you fall behind on this team, man, once again, they're good. They're good enough to run the football, and this running back they have is really good. I mean, I just, you know, I don't know why I didn't pick him up in fantasy football, but Alex Collins, number 34, he is good.
He may still be available.
Is he?
Maybe. I don't know if he was, you know, that picked up. But, you know, I don't know.
He's a different guy. He looks like
you should give it a shot in your league because you decided not to join the Fan Fantasy League. So, you know, pick him up in your league.
Well, you guys drafted for me, and you drafted Paxton Lynch after he was cut. Yeah, for my team.
That was wise guy John Davis. Rookie.
Well, then John Davis can stuff it then.
Well.
So don't get mad at me because I didn't join the fantasy team.
I gave you Marshawn Lynch and encouraged, you know, quarterbacks to be picked up.
I'm like, my goodness, who does that? Then is calling me frequently asking me for, you know.
Money?
Yeah. Not going to happen.
Can't do it.
Okay.
So.
Anyways.
But he's good. When you're watching him on film, it looks like all the really good running backs in this league. He looks like a blend between Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay. Somebody who moves their feet great, but he's not a small guy either.
Well, this year so far, 16 carries for 48 yards, 3 yards a carry, one touchdown. He's caught 4 balls.
He looks good. Now, he hasn't had a chance to really get going. For some reason...
That's not a great fantasy pickup, by the way.
Oh, I, you know what? I'm going to see if I can find him because I think he's a good player.
Eventually,
he's going to have days where he's going to have 100-plus yards. We just don't want it to happen against the Broncos. But if you go out there against this team and you just line up and think things are sweet, it's not going to be. Don't forget about the big tight end from Oklahoma. Mark Andrews, they love this guy. They got him in the third round. He was a clear first-round draft pick. But because of his medical background, and I think he wears a medical device. I forget which one it is that he wears.
I believe it's Life Alert. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
No,
I think
it's not.
It's not that.
But he's special. They line him up out at wide receiver. You know, they'll go... You know, twins on one side and in a regular formation and move the tight end, flex him outside left or right, and ask, you know, your safeties to go out there and cover against this big guy, man. He's a big guy. And, you know, your guy was Hayden Hurst, the tight end.
Yeah, he's hurt, though.
Yeah, I know.
He may play, but he's not going to practice.
Mark Andrews, number 89, is a guy that they believe in. Now, he hasn't had great success early in the year, But they believe in him, man. I mean, when you watch the film, it's clear they're trying to force feed him the football. So they got some nice pieces. you mentioned one kid that is every time he's on the field, he looks like he is just running like 100 miles an hour. Yeah. John Rouse, man. John Brown. John Brown and John Rouse might as well be the same person. I mean, they are super fast. John Brown from the Ravens, he looks like every time he pushes DBs to 8 yards, every last one of them bail. Like, we are not going to get beat deep. Snap it off. A little curl route. Snap it off. Mm-hmm. A little out route. Something nice and easy. But the initial burst, man, scares every defensive back.
Rightfully so.
Man, I mean, the guy's fat. I don't know what he ran at the combine, but this guy is...
He's probably a 4.3 guy, don't you think?
He looks like he's a 4.3 guy at a bare minimum. But, I mean, on film, it feels like...
He's definitely one of the fastest guys in the league.
Right.
There's no doubt about it.
On film, it feels like he is forcing the action.
Doesn't catch a lot of balls, but when he catches them, he averages 19.4 per catch, 7 catches on the year. It's just he's a dangerous weapon. He's already got 2 touchdowns. So, yep, he's tricky.
What scares you about about going out to Baltimore? Baltimore's
nothing
always
necessary.
Like this mush team, right? I mean, it's just
nothing special, but we always seem to struggle. I mean, I just
like
remember.
I'm watching Terrell Suggs. I'm like,
we've had some
I
of our
see,
worst.
I don't Broncos, see anything that.
The Broncos have had some of their worst games, period, in Baltimore. I mean, it's just been ugly over the years. So, Al, I don't see anything all that special. I just know that it's just not been good. Yeah, that AFC North is a grinded out, grimy sort of division anyways, right? And
I know, but they play a brand of football that is it's just solid. It's not scary.
I think we have the same feeling about it.
Right. I mean,
it's hard to understand.
They're not, you know, but they're not a weak team.
They've got a great kicker in Justin Tucker.
Yes.
Who always keeps them in games. They've always had good linebackers.
Maybe their best player. Justin Tucker may be their best player. Their kicker.
I don't know. They've always been solid. They've always been solid, not spectacular. And then you had the ridiculous year of freaking no weapon.
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 No weapon form shall prosper. No weapon.
No white suit.
I don't know why I don't like Ray Lewis.
Because it comes across as so phony, and he may have been involved in a murder.
He's just not one of my favorite guys. Great player, Hall of Fame guy. He's in now. How long was his Hall of Fame speech?
Oh, my Lord. I thought he was giving a TED Talk. Golly. The Hall of Fame induction ceremony has increasingly become some of the worst television in the NFL year.
Wait a minute. Wasn't he
so
the first
bad.
Guy? Wasn't
it's
he the first
so,
guy to go with the,
so bad. You
with the microphone? No, I mean, it was the cordless mic.
Have you ever seen the...
I mean, the guy was given a presentation. He needed charts he needs a flow chart and some pie charts.
Did you ever watch the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony?
33 minutes for was a TED Talk,
so
D-Mac. That was a TED Talk.
No, have you ever watched the
TED Talks are limited to 20 minutes now.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Have I watched one? Of course.
Okay. This is what it should be for the Hall of Fame. First of all, inside where it's comfortable, okay? So people aren't passing out because of the weather in stupid Canton outside.
Talk. Go ahead.
Much shorter. You know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, the speeches are 5 minutes max. 5 to 10 minutes, and you can cover anything you need to cover. 33 minutes. Did you buy the true coat at the end of the speech? I mean, anyways, it's terrible. The Hall of Fame is terrible.
How did we get to the Hall of Fame is terrible?
Because we were forced
Pat
to talk.
Goes in here.
No, that's great, obviously.
Year.
But we were forced to talk about the Ravens defense. And when you talk about the Ravens defense,
there's nothing special about
you
them.
You have to say no weapon. And when you say no weapon,
no
you wonder.
No Ed Reed.
You wonder who the white suit is.
No weapon formed shall prosper. No weapon.
Thank you, Ray. No Ray Lewis.
That's it. When I say Ravens, what do you first think of? Ravens.
Ray Lewis.
Anything else?
That long touchdown over
me too.
Raheem Moore's head.
Same thing. Same thing in my brain.
I mean, the first thing I think about is, I thought you meant like player.
No. You just hear Ravens, what do you think? Like Ravens.
Yeah, fluke Super Bowl. And a game they should have got smoked where the power went out in the Superdome.
Right.
Or did the power get shut off because it was about to be a blowout by the 49ers?
I'll never forget being there in New Orleans interviewing Ravens players like, you should not be here. You are not as good as the Broncos, and here you are. I was rooting for the 49ers so hard on that one. But your guy, Jimmy Smith, got away with two pass interference calls.
He sure did.
All right, it's the Ravens. So if it's such a mushy team, then why can't we, you know, get with them? And Cecil Lammy will join us. He was out there today, and Cecil's, you know, Cecil has things that he likes saying. You know, there's no, oh, can I just find it, please? Thank you.
Mike Evans is right. The NFL draft is nothing more than a crapshoot.
Cecil next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
To the Drive with Big Allen D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Mike Evans is right. The NFL draft is nothing more than a crapshoot.
Tonight, Cecil Lammy, Cecil Specials. Out at Famous Dave's. Well, that's going to be great. And all of the fantasy people who are freaking out because they thought they had a steal in Le'Veon Bell because they got the one or two draft selection are like, what?
Hey, man, Le'Veon Bell is making rap videos in Miami right now.
I mean, Cecil, from a fantasy perspective, what is this doing to fantasy football all over the country?
Yeah, it made everyone scramble for James Conner, first and foremost. Those guys who didn't get him, maybe you got Philip Lindsay. But now if you had Bell at that top pick, you can overcome it, though. The draft is only about 25% of your fantasy season. So with in-season management, now much better in-season management because you don't have a set-it-and-forget-it top-flight number one running back like Le'Veon Bell, but it certainly has caused a kind of a tiffy around the fantasy community.
All right, bring us into the loop, the news of the day. We had Brandon Marshall out. We had Case Keenum out. We had Adam Jones out with a thigh, although we were told it was a hamstring on Sunday.
Right.
So it's in the Lager region. And missing somebody else. Somebody else was out, too. I'm forgetting who it was.
Case Keenum?
I said Case. Who did I say? Brandon Marshall, Case Keenum. Oh, Jared Veldheer. So bring us into the loop with those guys.
Right, and Jared Veldheer, it looks like they're going to just try to work his way back through the concussion protocol. Maybe by Friday he actually does practice and then is allowed to play on Sunday as they travel to Baltimore. So we'll keep an eye on that one. If Billy Turner has to start, I guess that's not a terrible thing based on the way that Turner played against the Raiders. The Case Keenum thing is a non-issue. Like, we all were scrambling, like, uh-oh, here we go. And I watched Chad Kelly perform with the first-team offense during the media portion of practice today, and it was good. Only two passes hit the ground when Chad Kelly was out there. It looked like the stage wasn't too big for him, but I saw Case Keenum after practice talk to Case Keenum as he talked to the media. No brace, no limp, no ice, nothing, an absolute big nothing burger. So Case even said he wanted to play, he wanted to practice, but they just wouldn't let him today. So a little bit sore. He'll probably slide next time when he's out there scrambling for the Broncos, but those are the two big ones. And then we're going to have to watch the secondary. This is why I'm telling you, it sounds crazy. But if the Broncos can put together a trade where they trade Shane Ray, I don't know, for Patrick Peterson, something like that. I mean, they need secondary help because now you're talking about Isaac Yiadom perhaps playing and playing significant snaps as that third corner. We've gone from the luxury of your third corner is a first-round pick in Bradley Roby, to now your third-round corner is either some old guy in Adam Jones or maybe some young guy in Isaac Yiadom, who clearly isn't ready for prime time just yet.
You know, I do like Isaac Yiadom, now that I'm starting to watch what we're dealing with Pac-Man Jones.
So wait, are we saying Pac-Man Jones is done? Like, that's a wrap on Pac-Man Jones?
No, I don't think so, but I think he got hot and he got out of position and he couldn't handle the workload last week here in Denver when it was the hottest day here in Denver to play a football game. But I think there is something to be desired about, you know, putting an older cornerback out early in the season, maybe later in the year when the conditioning is right, D-Mac. You know, we
make all the excuses you want for.
I think Yiadom has to come into play right now. I mean, he has to be part of the mix. I mean, you can't do any worse. That's the bottom line.
The Broncos are in scramble mode at the cornerback position. I know that they're 2-0, but they're not without blemishes. We can have the whole contender or pretender argument, but it's 2 weeks. They're 2-0. They're in a good spot. But, man, that secondary is suspect. And when you face the better quarterbacks, what is Pat Mahomes going to do to this team? 6 touchdowns. Go for 10. I mean, if that secondary is still that poor, that's what I'm saying. Again, it sounds crazy, but hit the phone, John Elway, and start calling around, seeing if any of these corners, especially on lousy teams like the Cardinals, see if any of these corners are available for trade. Because nobody's – what, Bashaud Breeland is still out there trying to find work? The free agent corner market is just done. Try to trade.
I know there's one guy that I was thinking of who, you know, may be available. And we haven't been talking a lot about him here in Denver. How about Vontae Davis?
And on that note, Cecil, we'll see you down at Famous Dave's tonight for Fantasy Phantasmism.
Why did you guys not take that seriously? He didn't want to play for the Bills. How do you know he just didn't want to play for the Broncos?
Oh, okay. Listen, we already have the Jamie Moyer of football with Adam Jones. I don't think we need the, remember, hey, by the way, do you remember the dude, the offensive lineman who came to the Broncos from Seattle? He had kind of long hair.
John Moffitt.
Yeah, John Moffitt.
What about him?
Well, he's a what?
He's a prepper. He's one of those doomsday guys. He, like, lives in a bunker somewhere now.
Okay, that's about right.
He lives in a bunker? What does he do?
Richie Incognito thinks he's crazy. So, this guy, the Broncos had a bye week, and he just never came back. And he had never played in a game. He'd been on the 53, but he was either inactive or never played.
Drafted by the Seattle Seahawks in the third round.
Yeah, and he went
2011,
home.
2012. Was he traded to the Broncos?
Yeah, he was on the team for like 8 games. He never played.
Oh, by the way.
And then he quit after, like, he didn't come back from the bye week.
He didn't play in 13 and then didn't play in 14 and was on the offseason roster for the Philadelphia Eagles in 2015.
Not only does Richie Incognito think the guy's crazy, but Alex Jones thinks the guy's crazy.
There you go.
Well, I mean,
there
he got in trouble with the law at Belmar. For like an all-you-can-eat buffet, because he kept going back and they like kicked him out, but he'd go in disguise and facial recognition technology got him. Like, it was crazy, man. John Moffitt's crazy.
All right, Cecil. We'll see you tonight at Famous Dave's. Bye, Cecil.
John Moffitt.
Cecil Lammy, brought to you by, I guess, Famous Dave's. Is there anything else that he's brought to us by?
It was November 5th when he retired. What? I mean, you give a guy a bye week, you never know if they come back.
The dude stole money, man. Where's Moffitt? We don't know.
You told me I can go home.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me I had to come back. John Moffitt, we traded Silva Saliga. Is that how you say his last name? Saliga? You remember him?
Barrett Robbins thinks that John Moffitt is. Anyways. Okay, we'll take a break. 303-713-1043. Text line, phone line. Case Keenum. Let's hear from Case Keenum. See what he's got to say about this big matchup coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Yeah, I guess I need to slide a few more times than try to go running, bouncing off defenders. But I want to get a first down. I want to score. So, I'm competitive in that way. You know, I couldn't tell you. I mean, I just woke up sore. I mean, you know, ran it a few times there, you know, a few hits in the pocket. But tough defense, you know, they came after us. So, a lot of guys, we're all sore, but it was a good sore after that game. You know, similar, as far as just dealing with being sore after games, just making sure I want to play, 16, 20 weeks, not just, a few weeks.
So Case Keenum making some headlines today by not practicing and having a sore knee. Don't forget, Bruce Arians questioned the sanity of having him run at the goal line, and there were some other plays where he was running around, and I think Arians' point was, hey, I saved that for December. But the Broncos are in kind of the Broncos.
I know.
The Broncos are in are very much the mode of the Broncos has been very, very, very much win now. It's win now, win now. The only example that I can think of that isn't a win now move is keeping AJ Johnson on the team on the 53, who probably will be deactivated be redshirted, but they think he'll be stolen on practice squad. But that's the only play for the future. Everything else the Broncos have done reeks of win now. And so when you're having your quarterback run around, that is a win now mentality. There's no doubt about it. And I respect Bruce Arians' opinion saying, well, what are you doing, basically? Wait for December for that. But what does Bruce Arians know?
Well, I'll tell you this. He's a great offensive coordinator and the guy who is a quarterback guru. But I would say that, it's been like, those are plays that have been run for John Elway and Jake Plummer and all the other quarterbacks that were athletic in this offense for many years.
Well,
so
here's
don't think that playing in this game doesn't have bumps and bruises for quarterbacks, because they have bumps and bruises for everybody.
Here's what I think.
D-linemen.
On these two games. These two games.
It's crazy. Don't say the quarterbacks aren't part of the action.
They knew.
They should be.
They knew. Everybody knew that these were two of the more winnable games on the schedule. So we got to do everything we can to win these two games. Everything and anything we can. Baltimore game's different. It's not a do-or-die sort of game. It'd be great to win, but it's definitely not do or die.
It's not a home game.
It's not a division game. It's a conference game.
Right, but I do believe that it's a gettable game. It's a gettable game, but it's a mushy game, and it just...
So why take... You can do a couple different things. You can be safe and take chances at the same time, but you certainly... We shouldn't see Case Keenum running around on Sunday.
Oh, we won't have any. That's the kind of team that you don't want to do that with.
You wouldn't want to see Case Keenum diving headfirst into Matt Paradis' knees on the goal line on Sunday.
If it was fourth down and goal from the one, yeah, I'm sorry, Case. That's what we need from you.
Okay. But that's a quarterback sneak, not a quarterback draw.
Well, whatever. Whatever way you want to call it, whatever one is most effective.
If we have Case Keenum running option or whatever he was doing, and running the ball legitimately, diving and sliding all over the place after his knees were sore enough that he missed a practice on Wednesday. If he really, with that Kansas City game coming up the next Monday night, it'd be dumb. It would just be a dumb move.
So we play Sunday, then Monday night?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have one more day of rest, so let's go. Yeah, everything is, every week, this is like a great battle every week, a physical battle.
That would feel so stupid if Case Keenum were to get injured.
Listen,
on a play in Baltimore.
Things happen.
Okay.
Things happen in football. So,
you can choose certain things from happening.
Well, I mean, if you put a quarterback in the mix, you tell the quarterback in the mix, get down. But if Case Keenum would have looked to his left where Leary was blocking, he could have walked in. He didn't have to dive in. He could have just walked in.
Here's Keenum telling everybody how great the Ravens are.
Yeah, they're big, tough, strong, big.
tough, strong. I mean, you know, it's AFC North defense. I mean, I've played them a few times, and I know very well, you know, how they operate, and you know, so we got our work cut out for us, especially on the road. They're a tough team on the road, so you know, I'm really excited about the test we got this week.
That was hysterical. What he said, he did a little joke there,
but I mean, it's exactly what I said. The big mushy team. But, man, we put up numbers, man. We put up, you know, 100.5 on everybody we played against running the football.
Oh, we have some more media laughing, this time starring our own Troy Rank.
Yeah, I'm going to be me. You know, I'm going to realize, too, that I'm a you know, a lot better quarterback than I am running back. So, why'd you laugh so hard, man? Golly. Holy jeez, man. Somebody quote him, man. Golly.
You're running up your center, remember? You're the one that
talks. I know. I felt bad. Yeah, yet. I definitely could be better running the ball or just handing it off. But, yeah, I mean, I'm a competitor, and that's me. I want to win. I hate losing, and I'm gonna do whatever it takes to get first downs to move the ball on the field.
Ah, that's cool. A smattering of media laughing in there, fake media laughing.
Yeah, the you know, the ideas that go behind playing quarterback in this league have shifted. I thought we were on to the more athletic quarterbacks that could do the things that Case Keenum does, and we didn't want. The statuesque kind of quarterbacks that Joe Flacco seems to be. I thought we wanted a guy who was mobile. You change your ideas and you change your mind?
No.
Well, then, if you have a mobile quarterback, you know he's going to run? Or at least he should?
Yeah, okay. It's not
so
college.
So to say that you're not putting them, I'm just saying, but if to say that you're
the
not
drop
putting
off them in, is, dude, the drop-off is steep. By the way, here's a fun fact for you.
At our quarterback position in the depth chart, yes, it is.
Do you know what the 1, 2, and 3 teams are in college football right now?
Is it Clemson?
One of them.
Alabama?
Yes.
And let me guess, Oklahoma?
No, Georgia.
Georgia.
Do you know what all three of those teams have in common?
Short quarterbacks.
No.
And that can run.
No, they're all using.
That is true.
They're all using two quarterbacks.
Oh, okay.
They're all using two quarterbacks.
Where's Oklahoma in there?
The drop-off, between the number one quarterback at the top three college football teams in America right now, the drop-off between number one and number two is small. And there's a lot of arguments that the number two guy is better than the number one guy at all three schools. The drop off in the NFL from number one to number two is like falling off of the wall in Game of Thrones, the ice wall that kind of crumbled to the ground. So maybe that's not, you know.
So Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Clemson 3, Ohio State 4, Oklahoma 5.
That's pretty significant. The top three teams in college football are all using two quarterbacks because that's what they do. That's how you build teams. You just pile up one great quarterback after another, and the coaches are just like, you know, they're certain different, you know, the Tagovailoa Jalen Hurts thing is, you know, a little bit different than the, you know, Jake Fromm situation at Georgia. But
I mean, I couldn't believe at Georgia that the top quarterback in the country would choose to go and deal with, you know, having to try to beat out Jake Fromm.
He's doing a pretty good job, but Fromm's still the number one guy. I forget that guy's name off the top of my head, the guy from Georgia, but he's from Georgia.
Yeah, but he probably always dreamed of playing. He's only 1 year.
We'll see what happens.
Is it Fields?
Yeah,
Justin Fields, right. Kenneshaw Jordan.
The dude that's impressing
6'3",
me,
man.
The dude the that's guy, impressing I mean, me the most the though guy. Is the kid with the long hair from Clemson, whose name sadly escapes me. Kelly something or other. Is it Kelly Bryant? Have you seen this kid play? He's a freshman from Clemson. Unbelievable.
Where is a game when these guys get a chance to play in? Who are they playing against?
Huh?
Early in the year, are you playing against scrubs?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sort of. They're all undefeated.
So is my Colorado Buffaloes.
So are your Colorado Buffaloes. Who they got this weekend?
We have a Pac-12 opponent this week. Let me see.
Oh, you don't even know, huh?
What happens? I haven't gotten the game mode yet, dude. Yeah, that's it. UCLA, Friday night.
Boulder or in Hollywood?
Yeah.
Right here in Boulder.
Right
huh?
here.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that one of the blackout games?
Well,
I think it is.
Okay.
Where everybody will be in all black.
You going to be there?
Friday night, yes. What time did that game start? 8 o'clock on the...
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, yeah. I'll make my way right after the show.
All right.
Stay down in Boulder. Wake up the next day in Boulder, Colorado.
Have
Are
fun.
You kidding me? Sounds like a great weekend.
It does sound like a great weekend. I agree.
Yeah, by the time I get down there, it'll be the middle of the first quarter.
UCLA is falling apart.
Oh, did you see that?
The father of the freshman quarterback
has called Chip Kelly
$1 million
loser who is not brave enough to open up practices so everybody can see what's going on.
Isn't that great? Your dad's still calling out the coach.
I mean, he called him. He said he's afraid to open practice because... Yeah, he doesn't want to show how incompetent he is as a coach.
I can't wait to see CU romp on Friday night.
Oh, that'd be so good, man.
Yeah, UCLA is a disaster this year, which is great.
Was Chip Kelly just a byproduct of a lot of great players, or did he call great plays?
I don't know, man.
That's a good question, man.
Okay, so the Rockies have a huge game. We were incredibly disappointed. We'll touch on that. Well, maybe we can look at the starting lineup today, see if it's any different for Bud Black. We'll do that next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
And a high fly ball to left. The Dodgers are going to win it on a walk-off by Chris Taylor. 3-2, and the Dodgers lead the Rockies by a game and a half with 10 to play. Taylor, a walk-off winner.
The Rockies have 11 to play. So they play tonight. They have tomorrow off. Then 3 at Arizona. 3 hosting the Phillies and 4 to wrap it up with the Nationals, I think. Something like that. So, man, is it a must-win tonight? I think so, because you lose tonight and you're 2.5 out, and the Dodgers have 10 games to go, and you have 10 games to go. I mean, you're going to have to go 8-2, minimum, because that's the only... And then you have to hope the Dodgers just go 5-5. It's a stretch. It's a stretch. So, Bud Black tonight is putting out a lineup like has never existed this entire year.
Anything to shake it up.
He is taking... Remember yesterday, I advocated that Hampson was more of a reflection of playing defensively, even though he did have a better batting average than Pat Valeika. He certainly had less overall major league experience, and Hampson had a great day. Great day at the plate, except he was, you know, got butt blocked by the idiot umpire at third base. So there was a lot of speculation about putting out the best offensive lineup. Well, tonight, Bud Black... As they're going against the righty, Walker Buehler.
Buehler.
Is Buehler with what he believes is their best offensive lineup. And before I get to that, just really quick, I want to point out Thomas Harding, who said Rockies road trip numbers. Ready for this? Arenado, 3-for-21. Dahl, 1-for-9. Cargo, 1-for-11. Holiday, 2-for-11. Iannetta 0-for-7, LeMahieu 2-for-19, Story 1-for-11. Story out with an injury and otherwise what you consider a possible MVP season. So here's the lineup tonight. Charlie Blackmon leading off playing center field. DJ LeMahieu batting second, playing second base. No difference there. David Dahl playing right field. Not Carlos Gonzalez. David Dahl. So Carlos Gonzalez on this team has become a role player. He didn't start against a righty. He's not starting against a righty tonight. He didn't start against a lefty. Cargo is a role player on this team. Let me get through the rest of it. Nolan playing third, batting fourth. Para in left field, right field last night, left field tonight. Ian Desmond playing shortstop tonight.
That was the call for you last night.
Well, it wasn't a call. It was speculation because the concept and Ryan McMahon playing first base, who's a lefty, and you could arguably say, oh, well, we don't want lefty on lefty with Kershaw and McMahon. But McMahon's a great hitter, and I think you'd rather have McMahon at the plate than Hampson, even though Hampson did really well. And then Chris Iannetta catching and Tyler Anderson batting ninth, the pitcher. So in this particular lineup, you keep Iannetta in the eighth spot. But the big news of tonight is a lineup we've never seen because we've never had Ian Desmond playing shortstop. Big Sexy Kyle, little research here on the fly. Has Ian Desmond, in his tenure with the Rockies, ever played shortstop? Now, he's obviously played a lot of shortstop in his career. But with the Rockies, has Desmond ever played shortstop? But that's the case tonight because tonight is about getting the best possible offense you can out there. Shaking things up. And last night was a little bit more about the defensive side of things. I like the move. You know, you don't have Pat Vileika out there. You don't have Matt Holliday out there. And I like that move, too. I always thought Matt Holliday, Al, was going to be a Jason Giambi type of guy.
A situational player, you know, a pinch hitter. Or maybe a late inning addition to the team to make sure that we get some offensive firepower deep in the games. But you're right. I mean, what was it? Has he started 13 games out, 14?
Well, he was 5-7 now. He started last night, 5-8. Made a great play from the outfield, by the way, to get a double play. We had two outfield assists last night, which were terrific. But he's not hitting the ball. He's not hitting the ball. And our 2, 3, and 4 hitters last night went to a combined 0-14. Left 7 runners on base. And just destroyed the fantastic outing of Kyle Freeland. So, there you go. The switch is on. Ian Desmond starting at shortstop tonight.
From what we're finding, Ian played one game at shortstop last year for the Rocks.
Okay. When was that game?
Trying to get some pop.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Listen, it's not like some sort of tremendous defensive liability. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Ian Desmond's played tons of shortstop. I'm sure he'll be fine. And I think he's been a terrific first baseman. But in getting McMahon's bat in there, Dahl's bat. By the way, McMahon and Dahl both over cargo. Para, a lefty, over cargo. See where cargo is.
Where's the matchup tonight? Is that a matchup issue, or is that just a non-belief that you're a primetime player?
It's the best. This is who Bud Black absolutely positively against a right-handed pitcher thinks is his best hitters. There's no doubt about it.
What happens with Cargo at the end of this year?
He's gone.
Okay.
Finally. But it's been awesome to have him this year, and he's had plenty of great moments. And
so really,
freaking love really Carlos quick. Gonzalez, but it's over.
Last year, Ian Desmond played September 4th against the Giants in a 4-3 victory.
Okay. So he has not played last year. So this is only his second time playing shortstop for the Rockies, ever.
That I'm finding.
And first time this year. Pretty significant. Now, of course, it's a no-brainer because of Trevor Story. If he's healthy, you know, you just pencil him in, just leave it alone and walk away. But, you know, you have to be a little bit more creative here. And so Bud Black has said this is it. And it's not about defense tonight. It's about offense.
I'm actually seeing August 26th. He played in a 12-3 loss against the Cardinals and shortstop. Ian Desmond. This year.
Oh, he did.
Okay. That's what I'm seeing.
All right. Okay, here we go.
It's part of a double switch.
All right, I should be more clear. Starting the game at shortstop. Who knows what goofiness happens? You know, it's 18-2, and, you know, there's David Descalso out pitching for the Diamondbacks. You know, I have no idea what happens in those games. Who cares? Or double switching, or, you know, I'm talking about this is our game plan. This is the game plan.
Because he did move over to shortstop the game that Trevor Story did get hurt just to cover up. So, yeah, to be more clear, this is the first game that Ian Desmond has started at shortstop for the Rockies this season.
Again,
anything to get the dub, man. I mean,
I'm not concerned about it defensively whatsoever.
We're so close. 10 games. How many days will we have those 10 games? Is it 10 games in 11 days?
We've got tomorrow off, and then it's 10 straight to wrap it up.
Wow, 10 straight. So in 11 days, 10 games.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's only one day.
We play
off.
Tonight, right? We play tonight.
Yeah. It's on
ESPN.
And
then we got tomorrow off.
By the way, tonight nationally televised game on ESPN.
Okay.
Eyes of the country on the Rockies and the Dodgers tonight.
When they start making those percentages about whether or not the Rockies get in or the Dodgers get in, remember how paltry the numbers were for the Rockies to get in? I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of like 24%, and the Dodgers were at like, I think, 60, and then Arizona had the rest. Why? Is it because of the size of the payroll, or is it you can see the matchups coming down the line where they would just be better than us? Is it because they have a larger payroll than most teams? What is the reason why?
Most human beings in the United States don't realize there's a mountain time zone. They think it's Eastern, Central, Pacific.
Okay.
I swear to God.
So you say Rockies or Dodgers. You say, hey, Dodgers.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Just popularity.
Yeah. We face this crazy.
You don't think it has anything to do with the fact that they have a second in Major League Baseball in home runs? No, nobody knows that.
I don't know. I'm just going with what all the fans say. It's the East Coast, West Coast bias.
Hey, it's the Dodgers.
I'm just trying to fan.
Even sports writers.
They're the worst. I'm trying to fan it up here, Al.
Okay.
All right. Not thinking too deeply about it. Just go Rockies. We're desperate. Play with your hair on fire. Make something happen. Somebody.
How can that be comfortable to play with your hair on fire?
Mark Schlereth says the Broncos secondary is not so bad. Stink.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
I got a lot of this last week after the game about, the Broncos secondary stinks, and they gave up 29 of 32 to Carr and yada, yada, yada. 19 points. That's all I'm saying. 19 points. If your secondary stinks, points and points of plenty come from the passing game. And guess what? In a game like that where a quarterback goes 29 of 32, when your secondary stinks, you're giving up 35 in a situation like that. This secondary does not stink. It's still somewhat of a work in progress. And as Adam Jones continues to develop, he's going to get more and more playing time, and he'll be a factor in this defense because he's that good. Yeah, they gave up some plays. Yeah, they played a little soft on the edges, and that's why they got picked apart. But the bottom line is this. That secondary is plenty good enough if you stay in a position where your offense has the lead that you're going to turn the ball over, you're going to rush the quarterback, and that complementary, that symbiotic relationship between rush and between your secondary is going to develop, and this group and that back end, I think, are going to be a very, very good upper echelon secondary, a top 10 type of secondary in this league. But it's all got to come together, and that's a work in progress, and it's going to get better and better as the season goes on. And I, for one, think that this secondary, like I said, at the end of the year, is going to be a top 10 secondary. So, you know what? Head to Baltimore, get some crab cakes, and get your cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.